Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today in terms of news, we've got Tesla welcoming a new board member. We've also got a couple of analyst updates, and then towards the end of the episode, we're also going to go through Q3 delivery and production estimates. We'll talk about consensus, and I'll walk through my forecasts and some of the reasons behind that. Starting off with the stock today, Tesla up 1.7% on the day, closing at $287.81. Did trail a little bit behind the Nasdaq today, which was up 2.1%. A little bit of weirdness injected into the market today with some reports on maybe some iPhone weakness for Apple, kind of influencing some things, maybe having an effect on Tesla and some other higher tech growth stocks today. A little bit, but we'll see how that shakes out for the rest of the week. Remember, we have PCE report coming up on Friday, for the last day of the quarter. So, big news today, we have a new board member for Tesla. Tesla is welcoming Joe Jebbia, who was formerly with Airbnb, still has an advisory role there, still sits on their board. He did step down from his operating role at the company in July, sending out that letter. He is a former co-founder, though, of Airbnb and now joining Tesla board. So I don't know. I don't have a ton of background information on him other than, what we're all seeing here in Tesla's update. But it is kind of interesting his experience with sort of this shared ownership business model and how Tesla might be able to leverage some of that experience and knowledge as Tesla hopefully moves more in that direction with autonomy and robotaxi type of services. I would imagine that that's probably the fit that Tesla saw when making this addition, and I think that, makes a lot of sense. So, definitely excited about this addition, and hopefully we'll see that, have some impact here in the relatively near future, though it still might be a while before Tesla's quite at that stage. All right, next here we've got an update from Alex Potter of Piper Sandler. He has dropped his Tesla price target by $20 per share, previously $360, now $340, as you can see here. The note is focusing on things that Potter has mentioned before in terms of Chinese market share, where Tesla sits there, and some of the demand concerns that have popped up, questions he's getting from investors, and things like that. You can pause and read the note here if you want to, but the price target specifically was being reduced, as we have seen done before, just due to higher weighted average cost of capital assumptions. He's now using 13.6% in his model, up from 13.2% based on rising interest rates. So that's the main factor here. He did also drop his Q3 delivery forecast down to 354,000 units. I believe before that was maybe sitting around 370 or 380. Yeah, 380 before. So a pretty significant drop, but basically just due to some of the things that we've been talking about, and we'll go through here in a second with the delivery estimates. The other analyst update that we got was from Citi. So they are historically quite bearish on Tesla. They've reiterated their $140 price target on Tesla. So, 50% below today's levels. They are now expecting Q3 deliveries of 370,000 units, down from 399,000 previously, basically reflected on Shanghai production and things like that. This would have been a pretty big stretch, but this is where they're at now. With their reduction here, they continue to believe the shares are overvalued, obviously, but they did give a few reasons that could lead to an increased price target from them. I'm not going to go through them all here, but I did find one kind of interesting. They said that if Tesla were to, I believe at least what they're saying here is that if Tesla were to partner or be acquired by a larger tech company, they could, potentially increase their price target. I don't think I really need to comment too much on that, but I don't think there are really any companies that can acquire Tesla at this stage. Maybe I'm misinterpreting their point here, but that seemed to be what they were saying, which just struck me as a little bit odd. All right, let's move into the, again, pretty short news day, but let's move into the delivery and production estimates here. We'll flip over to Excel. We've talked a lot about the Shanghai situation, so we'll start there. Thankfully, we've got pretty good data from July and August so far. So we know production was about 38,700 in July, as Tesla did have the retooling going on during that month for the most part. And then for August, 76,605. Again, Model 3 was still completing those production upgrades during that month. For September here, I'm estimating just below 86,000. Last time we went through these numbers, I was about 87,000. So in this case, I've just dropped it down a little bit, about a half a day's worth of production due to that reported typhoon that we had a week or two ago. So that did impact Tesla's production schedule a little bit. There's a possibility that they did make that up with, an additional half day of shifts somewhere else in the last couple of weeks of the quarter. But that's where I'm at for production, assuming that Tesla was not able to make that up. It also leaves a little bit of buffer in case there were supply challenges that Tesla had to work through during the month. So that would put them at about 20,000 per week. We've got those reports that Tesla is working towards production of 20,500. So this allows them to have a little bit of ramping up from the rates that we had seen towards the end of August, which was closer to 19,000, but still not really achieving that full, 93% of their full production capacity based on that 6.5 day schedule, like we had talked about. So I feel pretty good about the Shanghai estimate. The red flag for Shanghai is really on the delivery side, which we'll talk about more towards the end. Again, we're starting with production, as that is always what I care the most about. Tesla's going to sell those vehicles, whether it happens here in Q3, Q4, whether it happens in China or nearby countries. So we'll talk a little bit more about deliveries in a second, but I feel pretty good about that. On the production side, you can see I'm at about 56,500 Model Y, about 30,000 Model 3. You can see the weekly rates there. If you care, I know I'm blocking the title there, but those are those breakdowns. And then if we move into Berlin and Texas, I think we have pretty good information here. So I'll just flip over here to kind of, show the information that I'm working off of. All of these have been reported by Drive Tesla Canada. I think they've had their finger kind of on the pulse on what's going on in Shanghai. They've had quite a few reports on production rates throughout this quarter. So it seems that they've got a relatively strong source on those rates. So remember, at the beginning of the quarter, we did have production shutdowns in July. That happened for a couple weeks from the 11th through the 22nd, really through the 25th. So looking back at the calendar, there were roughly 11 production days. At that time, we knew Tesla was at around 1,000 vehicles per week. So I'm assuming that over those 11 production days, there's probably a little bit of, a restart, not giving them that full 200 vehicles per day. But I am at about 2,000 vehicles for July there, over those 11 production days. Then we move into August and September, and as far as we know, it seems as though there has been pretty consistent production through those periods of time. We have had pretty conflicting reports on what the production rates have been. That's why I say I kind of divert back to Drive Tesla Canada here, because they, in August, refuted reports that Giga Berlin was approaching 2,000 per week. I don't think that they would refute that report unless they felt very confident in their rate, which they were being told closer to 1,300 per week at that time. So if we're going from about 1,000 per week up to about 1,300 per week towards the end of August, I'm averaging that out a little bit, assuming a little bit of a ramp up through that period of time. And that's getting me to right around 5,500 for August, which I think was around 1,150 per week. Again, assuming they're finishing around 1,300, starting around somewhere around 1,000. Then for September, we got a report last week from Drive Tesla Canada saying they're currently producing between 1,500 and 2,000 new Model Ys per week. So again, if we plug that into the September number, again, just kind of midpointing that, assuming that there is some ramp up from the 1,300 that they were at towards the end of August, and maybe the median of 1,700 or so here towards the end of September. I think I did about 1,550 per week here, getting me up to about 6,800 for September. So total Q3 Berlin with that shutdown in early August, somewhere around 14,300 is where I'm coming out. And I feel pretty good about that forecast. There's, with these reports that I think we have relatively high confidence in, the variability on this number is not incredibly high this quarter, which is nice to see. Same thing with Texas, because we did get that report from Tesla themselves saying that on September 17th, they crossed 10,000 vehicles built at Texas. So we talked about that. I was somewhere around 2,000 vehicles for Texas in Q2. That is just an estimate, so that could have been higher or lower, but shouldn't be off by too many. So if we assume 8,000 then additional added between July 1st and September 17th, and then we count, two more weeks from there, Tesla should be able to get pretty close to 10,000. The other data point that we've got on Texas is that CNBC leaked Giga Nevada recording that we had had. The executive in that recording had said that Texas also had hit 1,000 cars per week. I think Tesla had maybe tweeted out something like that too. So if we assume about 8,000 there with 2 weeks left, hopefully they can get pretty close to 10,000 for the quarter. So again, I don't think we have particularly high variability there. Most of the variability is a result of not necessarily knowing exactly what the Q2 number was for Texas. And then Fremont, that's where we're left with, I think, the most variability. We've got solid information on the first couple of months here for Shanghai. We know the run rate. Giga Berlin, it seems like we have a pretty good idea of what the run rate has been at various different points in the quarter. Texas, we got the update from Tesla. So those three, I think, are pretty close to locked in at, around 225,000 thereabouts. And then Fremont, here, what we're looking at is, again, leaked information from that CNBC recorded call out of Giga Nevada. 134,000 vehicles last quarter, now able to make 12,000 cars per week. That's really the key one for Q3. So when we look at that, that's 155,000 vehicles per quarter. That's a pretty big increase from 134,000 last quarter, and that would assume no downtime. It also was about 12,000 cars per week. Unfortunately, we don't have the exact verbiage from Tesla, but I'm assuming a little bit lower than that. Maybe that means somewhere between 11,500 to 12,000. So maybe call it 11,800 per week. And then maybe you've got throughout the quarter cumulative of 1 week of downtime. That's kind of the forecast that I'm going with for Fremont. And that gets me to Fremont production of about 142,000 vehicles. If we look at how that breaks down from a weekly perspective, you can see how that compares to last quarter, about 600 more vehicles, 500 more vehicles, call it, per week. A lot of that would be coming from Model S and Model X. So if we look at how that has tracked, we do get actuals there from Tesla. Since the refresh started, they ramped up to, 2,500, 9,000, 13,000, 14,000, 16,500 last quarter. The average increase here has been about 3,500. So I'm basically just plugging that in, assuming maybe a little bit better. The last couple of quarters have been a little bit lower than that average increase, which was really driven up by Q2 to Q3. I'm kind of wondering if maybe we see. This is really when the Model S turned on in terms of the production rate. I'm not sure that we have seen that sort of inflection point for Model X yet. That could happen this quarter, and that could drive us to a larger increase. I'm kind of midpointing between that and the lower increases that we have seen in S and X over the last couple of quarters. So basically, that leaves me with just adding the average increase that we have seen of around 3,500. So putting us pretty close to 20,000 Model S and Model X. And then just adding basically a couple percent onto the rate that we saw for Model 3 and Model Y in Q2. Certainly not unprecedented. If we look back, there have been, many periods where we've seen Tesla add, 5,000-ish vehicles to that total. And that's about roughly what I'm expecting here. We've got 122,000 versus 117,500 in Q2. Should also be noted that Q3 does have one more day in it. We do get that extra calendar day, 92 days this quarter versus 91 last. So with all those, 142,000, then across all factories, all four of our gigafactories now, exciting, 367,401 vehicles is my production forecast for Q3 at this time. The analyst consensus, I guess we'll talk about that in a second. They don't publish a production consensus. It would be probably a little bit lower than this. If we look at how that increases quarter over quarter, it's 42% above Q2. Of course, we had significant Shanghai shutdowns in Q2, even more so than Q3, really driving that quarter over quarter increase, but still very exciting to see. And then up 54% year over year. Last year, Q3 was 238,000 vehicles or so. So that's really what I care about. I'm definitely happy with this number. Again, a lot of this is backloaded into September. Pretty much all factories except for Fremont, which was probably more steady, we're definitely seeing more backloading. Keep that in mind here as we move over to deliveries. Let me unfreeze these windows here. And we'll slide over. Again, I don't really care too much about deliveries, but I am expecting Tesla to deliver a significant chunk less than what they produce. A big reason for this is, I guess, two reasons for this primarily. First, because production is backloaded in the quarter, particularly out of these three factories, Shanghai, Berlin, and Texas. With that backloading, as you're increasing production, it becomes more difficult to keep deliveries even with production because that last day of the quarter, if that's your highest production day, those vehicles aren't going to get delivered. And the vehicles that you delivered yesterday are going to be less than that. So ramping up makes it harder to stay even. And we definitely saw a big ramp this quarter. And then the other really main thing driving this would be the uncertainty in Shanghai with the, whether those are domestic deliveries that are happening or whether they're exports. So we did get an update from Wuhua yesterday that Tesla is staging vehicles for export here, you know, on the 27th. So these are vehicles that are likely going to be on a boat when the quarter ends. This is probably going to be thousands of vehicles. So we have to account for that in terms of our expectations, including those other updates that we had of people in Australia getting VINs and build dates of September 23rd, things like that. There are just a lot of signs pointing here to some of these vehicles likely sitting on a boat. How many vehicles that is a huge question mark. I wouldn't actually be surprised if it was a significant number more than this. The reason I'm only at 6,000 vehicles here is because for Q2, we did actually have production ahead of deliveries by about 4,000 vehicles. You know, if that would have been zero, then my number here probably would be more like 10,000 or something like that. So that's probably the biggest question mark for me. I feel pretty good about the production numbers. Again, a lot of variability probably for Fremont. I wouldn't be surprised if I was off by, you know, 4,000 in either direction there for Fremont. And then for deliveries, I mean, we could see. The problem is that Tesla's not a problem, but one of the things here that's making it difficult is that Shanghai is producing so many vehicles per week now, you know, 20,000, that even just a few days of production being allocated for export, that can cause a huge difference here in deliveries versus the production number. So I'm, you know, midpointing it to an extent. I'm assuming that not all vehicles Tesla produces here in the last week are going to get exported. Some of those are going to get delivered locally, is my guess. Some will go on a ship. And then we do have that inventory flow through from Q2. So anyway, I'm at 361,400 then for deliveries. That's 42% increase quarter over quarter, 50% year over year from Q3's 241,000 last year. So definitely let me know what you guys think and what your expectations are. If you're a Shareloft member, obviously go in and put your forecasts in and we'll track that as we did last quarter and see who gets closest. But that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, September 29th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.